Welcome to the podcast series for HAP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kean. Today we'll discuss the article by Yang et al. Titled Sex Differences and Vascular Reactivity to Mental Stress. This article published online November 30th, 2012. My guests today are Associate Editor Irving Zucker, Lead Author Jason Carter, and Expert Nisha Charkudian. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. Over the past several years, there have been an explosion of studies evaluating physiological parameters and control mechanisms based on sex differences. And I think these differences have been observed even at the cellular level. So given the fact that sex differences can have major implications in both the understanding of basic physiological processes and therapy for a variety of cardiovascular disorders, the current study by Yang et al. Is highly relevant. Jason, I wonder if you could get us started by maybe briefly summarizing what the rationale for the study was and what the major basic findings were.
Thanks, Irv. Mental stress is something everyone can identify with. As the distinguished physician and endocrinologist Hans Saley once stated when he was talking about mental stress, quote, "The absence of stress is death and only the dead have no stress." So, since the early work of Saley and others, we've come to discover that mental stress elicits a profound neuroendocrine response in both humans and animal models. And more specifically, mental stress is characterized, among other things, by robust surges of epinephrine, norepi, cortisol, sympathetic nerve activity. And this sympathoadrenal surge has a profound influence on the vasculature. Our laboratory is specifically interested in the sympathetic neurovascular coupling and how that ultimately influences blood pressure regulation in humans. And we utilize the technique of microneurography to continuously monitor postganglionic muscle sympathetic nerve activity, which I'll refer to in this podcast as MSNA. And when we augment those measurements with beat-to-beat arterial blood pressure and limb blood flow measurements, we get a picture of how the sympathetic surges are being transduced into the vasculature. However, what most are unaware of is that mental stress elicits a paradoxical vasodilation of the forearm. Now, as you mentioned, Irv, there has been a much-needed explosion of physiological studies examining the potential role of sex differences. And germane to the current study, it is important to recognize two well-documented sex differences. First, young women are more prone to syncope than young male counterparts and also seem to be more protected against hypertension and other cardiovascular diseases early in life. Second, in contrast to early life, following menopause, the risk of hypertension increases steeply in the women. So evidence is building to suggest that autonomic vascular interactions, and specifically alpha and beta adrenergic sensitivity, may be playing a key role. I'll let Nisha speak more to that as she's been part of that developing research. So in the present study, our aim was to determine the influence of sex on sympathetic neural and limb vascular reactivity during mental stress. And two novel findings emerged from the study. First, women demonstrated a greater calf vasodilation during mental stress, which was tightly correlated to their forearm vasodilation. In contrast to what we saw in the women, the men demonstrated a divergent forearm and calf vascular response to the mental stress, with the majority of the males showing forearm vasodilation with no change or even sometimes a vasoconstriction of the calf. Second, we found a significant inverse relationship between calf vascular conductance and MSNA responses to mental stress in men, but not the women. This was really our key finding and suggests sex differences in the transduction of sympathetic nerve activity into vascular tone during stress. So collectively, the study shows that sympathetic neural and limb vascular reactivity to mental stress appear to be sex dependent in humans.
Thanks, Jason. That's very clear. Nisha, I wonder if you could comment on the factors that regulate sympathetic outflow that are different between men and women, and how this may involve coupling, or as Jason said, neurovascular coupling to control vascular reactivity.
Thanks very much, Irv. What I'd like to comment on specifically, as you asked, is related to the relationship between sympathetic nerve activity and blood pressure. And in particular, in terms of work that we've done over the past several years, we're interested in how the activity of sympathetic nerves, which we normally think of as causing vasoconstriction, which would then increase blood pressure, how that relationship between sympathetic nerve activity and blood vessels and therefore blood pressure is different between men and women. And as Jason and his colleagues have shown very clearly here, the relationship in mental stress is very different between men and women. And what we and others have looked at is the relationship between sympathetic nerve activity and vasoconstriction. What's interesting, as Jason mentioned, is that there's a difference between men and women related to how that occurs. So normally when a sympathetic nerve releases norepinephrine, we think of it binding to an alpha adrenergic receptor on the blood vessel and causing vasoconstriction. But in women, it looks like there's a difference in the sense that women appear to have either more beta adrenergic receptors or more activity of beta adrenergic receptors. And the important thing about these receptors is that they cause vasodilation instead of vasoconstriction for the same chemical norepinephrine being released from the nerve. So therefore, if a woman experiences a certain amount of sympathetic nerve activity, as the women did in Jason's study and as we've seen in other studies, that may translate into less of an increase in vascular resistance, less of a vasoconstriction, and therefore less of a blood pressure surge, kind of in a general sense, compared to the same amount of sympathetic nerve activity in a man who appears to have a greater relative contribution of alpha adrenergic vasoconstriction for that same amount of sympathetic nerve activity.
Thanks, Nisha. Jason, I was intrigued by the differences between forearm blood flow and calf blood flow in women. Can you comment on what you believe the mechanism might be there?
You know, that's a great question. Some of the early work that was done in the early 80s, actually Nancy Rush was the first to document a divergent vascular response to mental stress in humans when she reported forearm vasodilation with no change in calf vascular resistance. Since that time, our lab and many others have consistently reported this forearm vasodilation, but calf responses remain inconsistent. And some of this could be due to potential divergence of MSNA responsiveness in the forearm and the leg during mental stress. However, to date, only three studies have examined forearm MSNA. Most studies record from the peroneal nerve. And two of those arm studies report no change in radial MSNA, and one reported dramatic reduction. So the jury is really still out on whether divergent MSNA responses to mental stress in the limb do in fact exist, and whether this could be a contributing factor to the divergent limb responses that we're seeing in this study and others. One final thought I have regarding this is that there was a study done in the early 2000s by Jim Pawelczyk and Ben Levine, I believe, in which they infused isoproterenol and phenylephrine incrementally in the brachial and femoral arteries. And they examined limb vascular responses to the adrenergic agonists. And they found a greater response to alpha-1 adrenergic receptor stimulation in the calf that may represent an adaptation to limiting blood pooling in the legs during standing. So there really isn't a lot out there with regards to some of this adrenergic sensitivity, some of the nitric oxide pieces, especially when you start getting into looking at differences between men and women.
To follow up on what Jason said regarding the differences between forearm and calf blood flow, I think there are a couple of important points, partly specific to the study and partly in general with regard to physiological studies in humans and other species. I think one thing is that it has to do with the assumptions that we make regarding measurements of blood flow or of really any variable. As Jason mentioned, there are different areas of the body in which we can measure blood flow and we can measure sympathetic nerve activity. A lot of times we make assumptions that measurements of a certain area, for example, the forearm or the calf, are representative of blood flow in other limbs or in other parts of the body. And sometimes we can make those assumptions and sometimes we can't. And I think that one of the important points of Jason's study here is that with regard to the sex differences that they looked at and with regard to the forearm and calf blood flows, it certainly would not have been appropriate to extend forearm or calf blood flow measurements to the other limb. The other quick point that I wanted to make is that not only are there differences in terms of the way measurements are taken, and we have to be careful about assumptions along those lines, but another thing we need to be careful of is assumptions that people are all the same.
Clearly, like any good study, this raises more questions than it answers. And I want to thank Jason and Nisha very much for participating in this podcast. Kara, we'll turn it back to you.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.